Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Hi, my name is Ann McNeil, and I am the master wealth builder, helping to build stronger and better lives and businesses. And thanking you for joining us on another episode of Hashtag My Investing Story. As a volunteer with Better Investing, I am very excited every week to come before you again with my co-host, Ione McNeil, and share another awesome story. But let's talk about Better Investing for a second. Better Investing is a 501c3, not-for-profit organization that has helped over 5 million, yes, over 5 million individuals learn how to invest. Simple now, right? Educational tools, but 5 million individuals learning to improve their financial future. We provide unbiased investment education by providing powerful online stock analysis tools to create long-lasting education information. And so with that thought in mind, we want to welcome our special guest today for our hashtag My Investing Story, Ms. Michelle Strauder. And Michelle is a very interesting individual. You're going to hear her story, but just to tell you a little bit about her, her background, she's originally from Guyana, South America, and has lived in the U.S. for over 30 years. I told her before the program started, she looks like a teenager, but you can see that beautiful smile she has on her face. She's raised in the Bronx, New York, and she attended college in upstate New York in the village of Geneseo, thank you. And she has worked in nonprofit and public education field for over the last 18 years. And so with that, we're going to welcome to the program also my co-host, Ms. Ione, I should say the phenomenal baby being there, Ms. Ione McNeil. Good evening, Ione. How are you tonight?
Good evening. I'm well. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'm excited to have Michelle Strauder on. This is our first time really having the opportunity to talk in depth about her investment journey. And just want to remind people that we have a diverse array of guests that come on, specifically individuals and investment clubs. And a lot of times it's not always about the 20, 30 years of investment experience already, but we also like to feature those who are just starting their journey, because I think that that story is a little bit more powerful to help encourage other people who are at the beginning as well. So with that being said, Ms. Strauder, can you talk to us a little bit about how you found out about the Climb Summer Stock Market program and why you chose to be an adult advisor?
So my brother-in-law introduced me or connected me to Bob Wynn, and I've joined his listservs, and I participated in listening to a few of these in the past. And so being on the listserv, the information came out about the program, and I read through it, and I was like, oh, well, this is interesting. It'll be a great way for me to learn as well and, you know, help out with the kids. I don't have any kids that I could have signed up in my own, so I just volunteered. And so I got paired with a group of boys, some in Philly, one in Maryland, and then another in Brooklyn. So that's kind of how I got into it, just wanting to learn more and then want to be a resource and a volunteer.
Definitely. And now I know that you were actually, you ended up being the sole adult advisor for the Northeast team. Talk to us about, well, we already know your willingness to work with kids you didn't know. So, again, thank you for that. But talk to us a little bit about kind of, you know, as soon as you got started, as soon as the portfolio became available to start investing, what was the experience like watching the videos with the boys, meeting with the boys, listening to their conversation? Because you were actually leading, I mean, in addition to the boys having their own portfolio, you as an adult advisor had your own portfolio of $100,000, and you were leading the adult advisor pack for like 8 weeks straight, you know. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, those first few weeks of getting to know them and engaging in the material and how that experience went for you.
So I ended up lucking out because initially I was the only one, but the two of the boys that were in the program had, I guess, kind of a mentor in their state that was helping out, and he got thrown in at the last minute, but it was great that his boss threw him in at the last minute because he had a lot of great experience and knowledge. So like the first week, it was just trying to get a hold of everybody, and organizing and trying to get us on that first Zoom call. So once we got that done, it was very helpful having the instructor guide and being able to go through that. So the first meeting was kind of like a feeling out. We had them, I had them introduce them because it was just us and saying where they were. And then I was actually kind of blown away because one of the young men had already had his own portfolio, actually. He has an investment account that he's been already doing it for at least over a year. And one other had some experience in it as well, so we could pull from that. And even though some of them had portfolios going, there were still things from the videos that we learned from each week. So it was great to share our knowledge. And then when Chris joined on, he actually does financial education for folks in his line of work as well, and he's a teacher as well, so he brought a really great layer to it of asking good leading questions and follow-ups to the video. So we really formed a really good partnership in how to navigate it. You know, you work through the kinks of, my mic doesn't work. Okay, type in the chat then. Or, you know, if they didn't want to be on video or couldn't be on video, we just worked through all of those things. But overall, like, they were willing to participate and they were willing to share their experiences. So it turned out to be a really great experience, I think, for both them and us as the adults in it. I think, and then for me, so I've been tinkering around with on Robinhood, doing my own investments before being a part of this. So when I had the opportunity to have a big pool of fake money, I just kind of, all the things that I couldn't afford to invest in my real life, I just dove head in doing this. And so that's what initially led to some of my success. And now I'm like kicking myself in the butt because I should have put more into Chipotle, because Chipotle, when I got it, was like $1,300 a share, and then over the summer it skyrocketed, and it was like the biggest stock that gave me the most gain in it, and I was like, I should have put more in it at the beginning. But it was a good learning experience.
Excellent. Now let me ask you something specific, because you, again, you were on the leaderboard very early on. How long did it take you to invest the majority of that money?
For me and my personal one, it was kind of right away within the first 2 or 3 weeks. Again, like I'd already had a list of
your watch list.
My watch list, if I ever came into a windfall. So I had I already had a list working from that I kind of just jumped right in. I mean, that's kind of my nature. You said it yesterday that if you'd hinted on it, and I think maybe we missed it. But it's intuitively for me, like if I do something, I get right into it. So that's why for my portfolio, I immediately started trying to invest the stocks without knowing that that was the exact right strategy. And I think with the boys, we tried to get them to, we kept saying that from week, you know, we're going to run out of time. We got to, it's not going to make us any money if it's sitting there. So you guys got to decide the stocks and how much. They were very conservative. And it's like, to an extent, we wanted them to understand, you know, diversify your stuff and be really pragmatic and critically think about what you want to invest in. And I was like, these are all the right tools, and you want to look at great long-term investments when you do this for real. But for the purposes of the game, if we want to win, we got to get going because we only have so much time. So that's kind of how it worked for me.
I think you hit it right on the head. Earlier today, I was listening to a podcast that featured an author, James Clear, who wrote the book Atomic Habits. And at the end of the interview, he said, don't rush, but don't wait. You know, I think it was, you know, it was very apropos because, and when we're talking about investing, everybody wants to do it, but when you have the opportunity to do it, a lot of other things come up. And in as much as you're researching and, oh, I need to find out more, oh, I need to know more, it's good not to just rush into things, you know, without preparation, but it can also be detrimental to wait until you feel like you've mastered everything. And so I thought that don't rush, but don't wait kind of advice was, again, very apropos because, you know, this can be very unfamiliar territory. And that's also why I love Better Investing, because as a community, you know, you are around people that are continuously learning how to be the best long-term investor, and really understanding the difference between investing and trading. So one other question I want to ask you about this Climb Summer Stock Market Experience program that you participated in. Could you talk to us a little bit about the evolution that you observed with the boys you worked with? You know, like you said, one of them already had their own stock portfolio, but I'm sure others did not. What was the thing that you, that maybe some aha moments or some points of reckoning that you observed over the 10 weeks of working with them as you all participated in the program?
I think towards the end, it was, they weren't in the don't rush portion of it. They were slow to start, but as we got to the middle and towards the end, they got very focused on winning. So then they got more focused on figuring out strategies, and they just kept bringing different stocks to it. And I think one of the advisors shared yesterday that, you know, they would bring things that weren't publicly traded or it might not even be U.S. stocks. So it was fun to discover that and figure out, well, okay, or figuring out that, you know, I remember when I was in school learning about monopolies are bad, but then they're different. They'll list all these different products and they're like, oh, it's all under Disney or it's all under this one anyway. So we already have the stock. So just seeing that was, is something that I would say, that to see them grow more competitive over time with it. Again, I think a lot of them had a lot of great knowledge base already in terms of a lot, you know, what a stock is and how to go about investing. But some of the other little nuances about PE ratio and bonds and those kinds of things, those were new little tidbits that they picked up along the way. But they definitely have the understanding of investing is important. It's a long-term thing, and the more you do over time, the better off you'll be. So it's good to see that they had that, and it kind of, it's very much instilled in them. So that's why I think some of the times they didn't want to take as many risks. And we're like, it's a game, though. It's not real money. But that part, at least, we felt good about in terms of, okay, they're not going to go out and make any crazy decisions and dump all their money into one thing and lose it because they got that idea.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you raised that point because it actually also makes me think about how sometimes we construe being conservative with not taking action.
Mm.
You know, I think it's sometimes people don't realize that even as a long-term investor, you have to give your chance, you have to give your money a chance to be invested in for the long term. If you keep waiting to invest the money,
mm-hmm.
it will take you a longer time to be a long-term investor. And so I think it's interesting for them to hesitate to make that investment decision, because it's not to say that they had to be trading, but I think what was at the deeper root was that they were afraid to even invest the money, you know, which is contrary to what you did in your own portfolio, which is, oh, I have this money, I'm prepared, I have my watch list, let me invest it. And the results spoke for themselves, because you were able to gain so much more percentage return on your investment because you were actually invested for 8 weeks, 9 weeks. You know, most of the participants, because of, I don't want to say inability to make the decision, but again, just being scared to even mm-hmm. invest the money, you're getting a small return because your money's only invested for 5 weeks, 4 weeks. The last week, you think you're going to catch up in the last week. And funny enough, I do think that is a microcosm of how we end up living our financial lives.
Yeah.
You know, it's the fourth quarter of our working life that we want to, oh, I only have such and such time left. Let me invest all this, you know, yeah. or let me get serious about growing my money for retirement, when really, if you had started earlier, you could have been less risky, but you made the decision earlier. So anyway, thank you for sharing that, because I really wanted to jump into that experience first, you know, just so that the public is aware of the Clown Summer Stock Market Program that we just hosted, and how regular people were able to learn alongside the youth by volunteering to be adult advisors. So with that part of your story covered, I want to take you back to Guyana, where you're from. And could you talk to us a little bit about how you grew up and your relationship with money in the household? I don't know what age you came to America, but I am interested, you know, to know your experiences with money then, and then also when you came to America. Because, mm-hmm. you know, the immigrant and money story is a very interesting one.
Yeah. So I came when I was 7. So most of my real growing up was in the Bronx. In terms of money, I mean, my mom worked 2 jobs. My dad worked 2 jobs. So, like, we didn't have conversations about investing. It was get your education, get a good job, save your money when you can, and those kinds of things. But that's the extent of it. Even, like, I don't know, writing checks or, you know, what to look for when you do get your first paycheck, any of that kind of stuff in terms of money was never really a conversation. I think overall, my mother always said, make sure you always have your own money. So if that means, I mean, I tell me, I've been working since I was 14, because the minute I was eligible to work, I had a summer job so that I would have my own money, as my mother would say. And she, you know, if you're going out with your friends, which I wasn't really allowed to do that much, but she said later on in life, you know, always have Beck money is what we say. Like, so if you go out and if something doesn't go right, make sure you have money in your pocket to get you home. That was the extent of any kind of money advice that I really got from my parents or from my upbringing. I think things I just kind of picked up along the way from people, how to write a check, make sure you know, don't get too much into credit card debt. And I probably did that, learning it the hard way by getting into credit card debt. And I think, like, we all knew about this market and what it was about, because growing up in the Bronx and in New York, I think we, you know, we visited the New York Stock Exchange.
It's like always in the background.
Right. It's always in the background, but you're never given a guide of how to navigate it and what it actually takes to be a part of it. I had, like, the high school that I went to was a diverse high school. It was an application school, so there were kids from across the five boroughs going there. So other classmates had parents that were investment bankers and things like that. But again, you don't have deep conversations to really learn and understand what that all entails and what it looks like. And to be honest, I think outside of, like, oh, your 401k, and I think I remember my dad saying that he would go in and change some of his stuff. But then some of those crashes, I remember he lost money with it. Now that I'm talking about it, like, I'm remembering some of the stuff. So there was that, and there's, like, okay, so, and then knowing that your job, whatever job you had those retirement plans and how those work was that someone was investing the money for you. And you can look, at least I would look at the end of the year to see how much. I was like, oh, that ain't no money. I kept it moving on to the next work shift. And that was it. And I think for where I'm at now, we're tired of working and not seeing, like, the full returns of it. And, you know, you hear a lot more conversations about it. Like, I remember before Robinhood came out, I heard a talk and Jay-Z was talking about he's investing in that. So I'm like, oh, Jay-Z's investing in this. So took heed listening. So when it finally launched and, you know, more people started talking about it, that I started looking into it. And then when your circles of conversation start changing and you hear different things from different people, well, so-and-so is an early investor in this and this and that and the third. And so your interest starts peaking more, and then you have different conversations in your friend groups. And then so last Christmas, we had a Christmas brunch, and afterwards we're all hanging around talking, and we're like, we're just tired. 2020 was a hard year. It made a lot of people reflect on a bunch of different things and where we're at in life. And then, you know, for my friends, we were turning 40, and it was like, we still have to work for 25 more years, and we have to figure out, and they're always talking about how Social Security is going to disappear. So we're all just like, so what is it that we're really going to do to secure a future for us? And some of them have kids, and what are we really going to do to secure our future for your kids? What does that really look like? And so the conversation led to all these different groups of people pool their money together. They work collectively. You know, they're sharing resources. And we as a community of Black and Brown people are not really doing that in a more specific way, either as larger communities or even, like, individually in our friend groups. So that's kind of how the whole conversation started. And we were like, all right, so we need to figure out for the rest of 2020
where to go?
Yeah, where to go. So that's how the conversation, that's where we're at now.
I'm so glad that you shared all of that and really took us there, because, you know, we say it every week, so people who hear it every week, you know, you're probably going to know what I'm going to say, but better investing is the best kept secret, period, bar none. And the reason my mom and I do this show is because that awakening that has happened, you know, like you said, within pop culture, within 2020, and you know, the dichotomy between record job losses and record stock market highs. And then also these, like you said, socially we're having so many changing conversations. I mean, so many people right now are in the market for fear of missing out.
Yes.
And so I want to ask you, you know, the conversations that you were having, the brunch, Christmas brunch with your friends, what did you then start to do a little differently to connect to those sources? Because I think, too, we sometimes have an idealized view of the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we don't know, we're like, oh, they know, they're sharing. But, you know, how have you taken action just from that moment to kind of get into the right spaces to start to learn this stuff on your own?
Mm-hmm.
Or even also within your group?
Yeah. So it was being a part of listening to Better Investing, this program, that was part of the other motivation to do the stock market game. I've definitely started listening to a bunch of different podcasts, Millennial Investing. My husband is super YouTube, so he's always pulling up something on that. And then asking, I think also like a lot of times people always have a, you don't talk about money, politics, and religion. But so now in certain, you ask the questions about money. So anyone in my circle that I know is doing well, I'm like, all right, so I have these questions. We're thinking about doing this. What are the resources you can point me into the direction? So it's now it's about not being afraid to ask people because what's the worst they're going to say? I don't want to tell you. So those are kind of the things that I'm doing. It's just keeping an eye open and actively looking for opportunities to learn more and be involved more, because I think the more you put it out there, the more it'll be attracted to you. And you're just trying to be a sponge and soak up as much information. But I'm also, you know, still doing my Robin Hood thing, and then we're trying to figure out how to get this group more mobilized into the collective investment. So
got it. One other question, just tracking back to where you are now, and what's probably the number one, if not top two things that you learned from that summer stock market experience program? Because, you know, now that we know where your mental state was in terms of being prepared, being right for this opportunity, managing a $100,000 portfolio for the past 10 weeks has given you what?
The conviction to keep going, because you're not going to know everything in the 10-week period. So it's definitely the motivation to keep going, especially since when I started, I was like, these kids are 16 and 13 and they already have portfolios, and here you are at 40 only now starting. So now it's like a drive, because I'm like, now I feel like I got to catch up to them, and then also be making sure that any younger kids in my other spheres of influence is like, cause like, I mean, my godson is too young now. I have two of them and too young right now, but setting myself already in the mentality, you got to set them up to be, you know, in that mind frame too, as soon as they're old enough to understand the concept. But I think that's the number one thing is the motivation to keep going. And even if you don't know, just keep going until you figure it out. And it's very much in the vein of don't rush, but don't wait. Like, because mm-hmm. right now for me, especially, time is of the essence, but
mm-hmm.
you got to figure it out as well, too.
And what was something that surprised you in participating in that experience?
Mm-hmm.
I think I have one, but I want to hear what you think.
I would think other than the kids surprising me along the way, for me, it's just I was surprised by some of the other things that I didn't know, particularly about bonds. And I think I remember someone gave me a savings bond when I was in middle school. And for the life of me, I was like, what did I do with it? probably could have been worth a lot of money right now. But just I think that would be one of the things that surprised me, other than just the knowledge that the kids had already.
One thing that I thought of was, were you surprised at how right you were by taking action?
No, I don't think I was surprised by it.
You came in expecting the win.
Oh, I mean, that's how I go. We're going to play a game. I'm ready to play to win.
Okay.
At all times.
Okay.
And I lost right at the last minute. That's how I said I'm kicking myself in the butt, because I could have dumped more into Chipotle, and it would have really made me
first place, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I just had to ask because, you know, I think that there are sometimes so many unexpected moments that end up being pleasurable delights.
Mm-hmm.
Think back on it. And when I first participated in the program, the pilot program last year, I had never managed that much money at one time. From a cash perspective,
mm-hmm.
and needing to make decisions. And, you know, despite my ongoing competition with Bob, I said, you know what, I'm going to test out the Better Investing methodology, and I'm just going to buy and hold. Like, I'm going to invest early all the money and then not touch it again until the end.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was, I didn't expect to gain a certain level of portfolio management confidence, but it really helped, because maybe about 6 months after that, when I had to roll over my Roth 401k, you know, from my old employer to mm-hmm. self-manage it, I didn't realize, like, oh, I just had that experience. So now I'm sitting with, yes.
Excuse me, real money that time, right? I just want to make sure that audience.
Oh yeah, real money.
We're talking about real money.
Yeah,
not
real money.
Say. Okay, just wanted to
interject. Yeah, not real money. And it's funny. I mean, I didn't think the conversation was going to go here, but today I checked, and you know, I rolled over $116,000 in January, and from my Roth 401k, and then I had a traditional 401k, which was my employer match up until that time of $13,000. And so that combined plus a $6,000 2020 contribution, a $6,000 2021 mm-hmm. contribution. So I started with, I think, 140, you know, somewhere 140, 142. But because of that experience as an adult advisor and having managed, now, again, I'm starting from scratch, cash, and I'm like, oh, that's right, I did this. Let me do it again.
Yeah.
And ended up investing everything. And, of course, I mean, you don't even have to be the best to make a lot of money in this kind of market. But yeah, I've been able to get returns, but I can solely contribute that level of confidence to participating as an adult advisor in the summer stock market experience. Because I mean, who's ever invested $100,000 cash,
right?
You know, and to have 10 weeks to do something about it. And I mean, I feel like if you take it seriously, you know, you really can't challenge yourself to test, like exactly what you said, test your theories, test what you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, Ms. Ann.
I just want to make sure that we give a disclaimer to everybody who's listening. We are volunteers with Better Investing, Ione and I, and we're not making any stock recommendations. We're not stockbrokers. We're not day traders. We're not time in the market. And so we're sharing investing stories. We're not recommending any kind of stock picks or buys. We don't do that. So I just want to just make sure that all of you who are listening, whether you're volunteers with Better Investing or not, and you're very clear that this conversation was about a Klein educational summer New York Stock Exchange summer program that these two young ladies were volunteering with a group of youth and advisors. And so Ione will share more about that. But I just wanted to just jump in and say that so that we have lots of people who are listening live, and then we have people who will be listening in the future at this podcast. And we would love to have you go to betterinvesting.org and learn how to become a better investor with investment education. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Ms. Anne. How has investing changed your worldview of money, Michelle?
I think I would say it more solidified for me that money is a tool. And you just have to hone your skill in how to use that tool. I think that's as succinctly as I could put it. That's what I've learned. It's a tool, and it's a means to an end, and you have to acquire the skills to learn how to use it.
I know that you're just starting your investment journey. So one kind of unique question I want to ask is, so far, could you talk a little bit about, and I don't know if you've tried all of these methods, but could you talk a little bit about the impact of some of the methods you may be using to learn investing? Is it reading books? Is it reading articles and magazines? I know you also mentioned talking to someone, listening mm-hmm. to podcasts, maybe even listening to audiobooks. Could you just kind of walk us through how you are continuing to expose yourself to a quality investment education?
I would say really just those things, and I'm sure the more we walk down the path, the more I realize that there are other avenues, and so it's understanding, I guess, where I'm at and then knowing that there's more to learn, to just being aware of that and just keep going through those cycles of listening to, like, for me, I know, like, reading a book may not resonate. I might need to get the audio version of that, too.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely I've enjoyed the podcast. I've enjoyed listening to YouTube videos. And then just being open to opportunities when they present themselves, to just be open-minded and, again, having the conversation and exploring the options. Like I said, I learned a lot from the summer experience. And so just recognizing that there's more to learn and just keep looking for ways to grow your knowledge. Because, again, with money being the tool, I got to keep acquiring the skills. And a lot of the things are changing. So, and then, internet searches and some reading articles, that has also helped, particularly in trying to understand how we go forward as a group, because we're a large group, and, you know, do we do an LLC? Do we do this? So reading up on things like that to help get a better sense has been helpful. But for me, I also think just talking to people, because sometimes you can read something and I was like, this is jargon and it doesn't make any sense to me. So going to multiple sources to try to understand a concept has been helpful to me. And that's what I would recommend. Because sometimes if you read something and it seems off-putting because it doesn't make sense, look to get the information through another medium so that you can keep chipping away and building your understanding of it. Like, don't be discouraged by it. Because sometimes, like I tell you, I've read some of the articles, I've read it 6 times in a row. I was like, this doesn't make any sense. But then you talk it out with someone else, and then you're like, oh, okay. And okay, what else can I pull to better understand this concept?
Excellent. Two quick questions. One is, have you signed up for your Better Investing 90-Day Free Trial yet?
I have not.
Okay, so I'm sure you're going to be doing that soon.
Yes. So And I guess, yes, because I have, today was an experience with my group trying to get some things done. So for me, yes, because it'll be helpful again to get more guidance and understanding. So yes.
Okay. And the second question is, I know you've been mentioning this group. Could you talk to us a little bit about what that is? Is it the core group where, you know, that Christmas brunch, you all decided to get together, stay together, and learn investing together? Is it just a group? Are you looking to form an investment club? I mean, I'm interested to know.
So the core group that was at the brunch brought it to a bigger group, and then we were trying to indoctrinate, I guess. But no, that's too much. Bring in other folks into it. And at this point, I think I want to say it's a lofty goal, but it's not, because I guess you got to go big and go bold. But what we were trying to do was to bring, pool together $100,000 to start investing in 2022. So spreading that out across, right now we're a group of 14 individuals, and some of us are married, some of us aren't, so then that was the whole thing. Okay, this couple is bringing $10,000, but I'm a single person, I'm bringing only $10,000. So that's it, and it's a lot of us are just friends, and again, like I said, some of us are married. So it's us bringing our friends groups together and figuring out how we can do this. So that's our group. And that's where some of the struggles is, because people are at all the different parts of it. Like, I just want to put my money in the pool and then that's it. And then some people have a different knowledge base in terms of their prior experience, because one of our friends that's in it is a Wharton grad, and she's worked at certain companies, so she brings a specific knowledge base there, but like, she's the only one. So it's like bringing along the group and then have it, we're all on different levels of engagement. And some people that, you know, when we have our meetings, they can't come at all. And again, they're just like, just tell me when to
just do it for me. Just do it for me. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, so, we definitely have it.
But we've talked about, like, initially when I first start with Bob and we met with him individually, well, me and two of the other members, and the information that he gave, and I was like, yeah, this is the way we should go. They're going to get
information about Better Investment Club.
So, yes, an investment club and linking us with Better Investing.
Right.
And I'm like, well, this is the way to go. They've kind of already figured it out. And so for starting out with not knowing, we should just kind of follow the roadmap. But it's hard to sometimes bring along 14 people. But so that's the group, and that's where we're at. And I feel like I'm going to be the one to go get more information from Better Investing to bring it back, because I see us hitting roadblocks and kind of spinning our wheels because we don't have enough of the information and the skills that we need to do to get to the next stage. And I was saying to one of them today, I was like, well, we got to crawl before we can run. Because, you know, we're talking about all the different things. There's stocks, there's bonds, there's, you know, everybody's all about angel investing. But when you do the research on it, you can't just jump into angel investor. You have to be an accredited investor. And that comes with all these other things. And they're regulatory. We don't meet the criteria. So it's like, we're not there yet. So we got to do something in between here and here. So it's, again, just trying to figure that out.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you shared that whole process because what you just shared is the conversation that a lot of people within their friend groups are having.
Mm-hmm.
And number one, they may not even know the term investment club. And then even beyond that, they may not even know better investing. So again, you know, for anybody that's listening, Better Investing is a national nonprofit focused on investment education. And Michelle, I'm going to recommend actually that you become a paid plus member of Better Investing First, mm-hmm. and mandate that anyone interested in learning investing actually become an individual Better Investing member first, because I think that, like, where you are, you're so ripe for, like you said, the next step in wanting to make sure that you are in touch with quality information. And a lot of it is starting with the basic foundation of what is investing. You know, right. people are talking about investing, but they don't know what goes into investing. And probably your Wharton grad friend is the only one that even knows that you're supposed to be looking at financial statements before you make an investment, you know. So yeah, I would definitely recommend, number one, becoming a Better Investing member. And number two, visiting some of our model investment clubs. The South Florida chapter has a model investment club meeting September 18th that you can visit. The North Florida chapter model Space Coast Model Investment Club meets every first Monday of the month. And, I mean, I'll send you a schedule of, like, a whole calendar of events. Any Better Investing chapter any day of the week is going to have some type of model club that you can visit, mm-hmm. or educational workshop that you can attend. And I would say definitely just kind of start making a commitment to learning in the form of just attending, you know, attending, listening, asking questions in the chat, because there is another way. I mean, I've never heard a group that said, oh, we try to raise $100,000, like, up close. I mean, most of the investor clubs we've had on the show, you know, they say we got together, started learning together, and was only putting in $25 a month, you know. And so, again, I'm so glad that the conversation went here, because I do think that, you know, with all of the exposure to investing that's out there, and the early investing and the angel investing, people really don't know where they stand. They know they want more, they want to do more, they want to learn, but they have yet to find what's going to work best for them. Yeah, so again, I encourage you to join the Better Investing family, and I think that, you know, within a year's time, you'll definitely find your footing and be able to you know, better lead your group as you all continue to form. So with that, Ms. Ann, I'll turn it over to you.
My heart goes out to you in many prayers, Michelle. Getting together, like minds and like spirits with money, and talking about that amount of money. Ione just gave you some valuable information, and I would say that comes from many years of experiencing what works and what does not work. And I want to just read a comment in the chat from Bob Wynn that just chimed in. And he basically said that Klein will follow up with you to help you get going with your group. And, of course, he wanted us to know that he's double tasking on a Zoom with his first investment club that he started in 1987, and their treasurer just reported tonight that their portfolio is now at $951,000. And I'm sure that they don't invest more than $100 a month.
I think they invest between $24 and $40 a month, but again, the club's been in existence for 34 years, and they have taken out in excess of $300,000 over that time to members who, you know, did partial withdrawals or full withdrawals.
So you're in an excellent place, and so we wanted to thank you for coming on, but also encourage you that Better Investing is really a lifetime community of like-minded and like-spirited individuals, like all of us on this, many of us, not all of us, that's on this Zoom tonight and many people who are listening in. But I also wanted to invite you and remind all of our listeners, please join us at the BEAC annual conference that's going to be held in Dallas, Texas on October the 21st through the 24th. And you can register at the Better Investing website. And also, in addition to that, we are hosting what we're calling our financial empowerment seminar, and it is free. The Better Investing Bank seminar is not free, so let's make sure you understand that so you can register. But the Better Investing Financial Empowerment Seminar is free, and the details are here. That's on October 23rd, 2021, which is a Saturday, and we will be there from 7:30 to about 3, wrapping up at about 3:30, and we have a phenomenal program planned. But it's all about investment education. We have a number of different presenters that will be presenting that night. And we want to continue to thank all of our volunteers that come on. Actually, Dan Harder also made a comment, and he said he's also available to help with any questions regarding the treasurer responsibility when you get your club started. And Ann Newman always has some phenomenal comments. We also, for those of you that are coming on, even a little late, we'd like to challenge you every week. Share at least one thing you plan to do between now and next week. Let us hold you accountable for at least one activity that you're going to do. And it could be something as simple as taking a white envelope and putting $5 in it. And at some point, you're going to save that money. When you get $20, $25, you may be invested. Or, you know, like our guest tonight, is saying she's going to start investment club. Whatever it is, share with us one activity that you are interested in. And I did take some notes, Michelle, so if I can just share a couple. You mind?
No, not at all.
Okay. All right. One thing that was very inspiring for me that you said, and that was money is a tool. Use it and grow your skills. I thought that was very – I'm a contractor by profession, so I took that to heart. So now I have to make sure that I put the money in my toolbox and make sure I use it also as guy on here and use it as a tool. And the other one which you shared, and we really don't think about it, and that really is Google. Google really is a really good tool, and it will lead you to videos, books, and every kind of possible research you could look for.
You are muted.
One more, and that is the Better Investing website. It has a phenomenal amount of information for just researching, like I understand. So we want to go ahead and prepare to wrap up, but we would like to have you share any last thoughts or comments before we wrap up. Michelle?
Just go ahead and get out there and do it and learn as much as you can. And thank you guys for the opportunity to share my story.
Thank you, Michelle. I think that your story was really unique, and so glad that you said yes to being on the show because, again, you know, we're trying to showcase many different perspectives and different points in people's investment journey. And so thank you so much for being willing to share, especially at this particular point in time, and being vulnerable enough to give us a peek of, you know, what you are doing, what you're building, how you're working with your friends to really build wealth for your family and your community.
And I just want to just remind everybody, we did have some people that came on just a little late. I just want to remind them, Ione, that we're talking tonight on our hashtag My Investment Story with Michelle Strotter. And she's originally from Guyana, and she's worked in D.C. Public Schools and at Hartford Public Schools. And she currently works and lives in Connecticut CT. Works at Goodwin University as a senior grants officer and serves on the board as a board member of Dignity Grows, a not-for-profit in Connecticut. So I just wanted to share that because we did have some people that just recently came on. And Michelle, like Ione said, your story is so inspiring as a new
Better Investing member. So as we wrap up, if you'd like to share with us your one action you're planning on taking this week.
Joining Better Investing so that I can sharpen those skills.
Yes, well, Ayuni gave you a lot of good information, to be quite honest. Many of us, like she said, are in clubs, or even if it's just a model club. And what you may want to consider doing is getting together with Ayuni offline, because she has mastered a number of things. And one of the most recent things that she's mastering is being president of our local model investment club. And as her mom, I will tell you, she gives me no grace, no mercy. Just like everybody else, we must do our homework or get out. And so, yes, I oh, the world knows. Yes, but to be quite honest, it is what I think is one of the best experiences you will have, especially with lifelong friends. But I will also share with you, don't drag or pull people. Don't drag them.
Fair.
Don't pull them. Cut quickly. Measure. Measure twice, cut once. Measure twice. Come on, guys, we're in construction. Measure twice,
yep,
cut once.
Go on. I'm familiar with the term.
And let them become involved with Better Investing, and let them qualify to be a part of your investment club. They need to qualify.
Let them catch up later.
Yes, they can catch you later when you open the group up again. And so if we could say anything in the spirit of love as volunteers, and I know many of the volunteers are sitting in the audience and they're listening and they're shaking their head, because many of us have to learn the hard way. Because once you let them in, you cannot get them out. I don't care what your dialogue say. You know, you want peace and understanding. And so just follow the Better Investing guidelines. And there's a lot of information inside the Better Investing website. So we're going to go ahead and thank everybody for joining, and we want to thank you for coming on and sharing your phenomenal hashtag My Investing Story. And so with that, Ayuni, if you have anything else other than that.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Everybody, all right, good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Goodbye.